Welcome back to the Junks, coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan, Team 980, 910 The Fan if you're listening in Richmond and Monumental Sports Network. It's time now to head out to the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We say good morning to Grant Paulson, co-host of Grant and Danny that you listen to here on The Fan every Monday through Friday, 2 till 6 p.m. He's in Atlanta for the Major League Baseball All-Star Game.
Well, I should say thank or congratulate him on the birth of his new baby.
He's very fertile, that Grant Paulson.
4 or 5. Stay away from Grant. He'll knock you up in 2 seconds.
He can do that, yes.
Hey, congrats, buddy.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. You guys have to catch up now. I'm at 4. I don't think anybody's got 4 in that room.
Nobody in this room has 4.
You're the only one.
We're holding.
I've been snipped.
Are you eventually going to get to 5?
No, absolutely not.
This is it.
That's Dunsky.
This is it.
He's ready for vasectomy madness.
Can you explain the I love the president bit. Is this something that the Paulson family does? Can you explain this?
So I just always thought it was cool. I mean, being my middle name's Harrison too, right? So my parents doubled up just randomly. It wasn't like a theme in my family or anything, but they wanted they always say a powerful name. So they went Grant Harrison. Mm-hmm. And growing up, I always, early on, I thought it was cool. I was more into kind of learning about history a little bit and presidents just because of it. Mm-hmm. So I always thought it would be neat. And then when I ran it by the wife, probably before we got married, she kind of liked the idea. So then it was just about agreeing on the names. But yeah, we've got Reagan, Truman, McKinley, and now we've got Lincoln. So
nice job,
we got
buddy.
The Mount Rushmore, man.
Very
good.
For a second, I joked that you were doing the running presidents from the Nats games.
Well, you know what's
racing
funny is
presidents,
like, my kids are obsessed with that because of the names, obviously. But yeah, I used to, all the stuff that I used to hate, like my buddies always make fun of me. Mascots, I thought were the dumbest thing in the world, or the racing presidents, was the bane of my existence. Now I'm like running around Nats Park just looking for Abe, praying that I get to see him because the kids want to get a picture.
You love Major Tutty. I mean, you're into Major Tutty now.
All right,
Major Tutty's kind of my guy. I do like him a lot. I like a fat mascot who's like completely the opposite of intimidating. Although he's a little more shredded now. I don't know if you guys have seen this. He's been on Cope Berry. He's got him, so he's a little weight loss. He's a little tightened some things up. So good for Major Tutty.
All right, so who's your guy, Cakes? You love the Philly mascot.
I mean, I don't want to overhype that because we're not in Philly, but Gritty's kind of my guy. I love Slapshot, too. Don't get me wrong. But Gritty's one
Cakes,
seed.
You're with me. There's two different ways to go with the mascot, right? There's like the forceful looking scary guy that you don't want to deal with, and then there's just the wacky creepy guy, which is Gritty. The Fredericksburg Nationals have the best mascot ever. You guys have to look this guy up. His name's Gus, and it's like this weird purple monster, but the backstory that they came up with, which is ridiculous, is that it was like George Washington's imaginary friend. And it's just the creepiest little guy. But look him up. He's out of the same, cut from the same cloth as Gritty in Philly.
All right,
so Grant, first let's characterize, get your opinion on the record here. I know you've talked about it on your show and you've been tweeting, etc. But the Nats kind of surprise people, those of us that are casual observers of the MLB draft. We kind of all assume it was going to be the Holiday kid or the Anderson kid, and they kind of, an outsider for us, but a kid that was fifth ranked. He was like in their MLB program or whatever, like Team USA or whatever he was, at like 14 or 15, co-MVP. So he's been in the mix of elite players for his age group. He's the youngest kid in the draft. They draft Eli Willits at 1. My understanding is you love the pick.
Love it. Yeah, absolutely. This was the guy I wanted him to take. I didn't think they would because there were two pretty famous like celebrity players available that were a lot easier to take.
Yeah.
And frankly, two guys that were safer, right? Everybody saw Kate Anderson, LSU lefty, on national television, throw a complete game shutty in the College World Series. I mean, he is an easy player to select and then watch move fast. I mean, he would be in the big leagues by the end of next season. The other option would have been, as you guys know, Ethan Holliday. It's the first family of baseball at this point. I mean, and the guy who has got the most power upside in the class. But there is some question about him that doesn't get brought up a lot, which is he's got some swing and miss, and there are concerns about handling velocity, which he didn't do a great job with on the showcase circuit. There's definitely a chance he ends up being really, really good. There's no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. But he's not going to stay at shortstop. He's huge. He's at best going to be a third baseman. I actually think there's a better chance he plays in the corner outfield. So when you're drafting players, as you guys know, the more value is up the middle, the premium defenders, right? If you can play short, even if you're not quite as good offensively, if you can play center, that's way more valuable to a team. It's very rare. Most guys can't play those two positions. Eli Willits, the youngest player in the draft class, is absolutely going to stay at shortstop. So that's the number one reason why I liked him. Number two is, and this is just my own proclivity, it's bat-to-ball skills. Like, this is a hit tool guy, so you're talking about being able to hit for average, talking about being able to get on base, not swing and miss a whole lot. It's a crapshoot anytime you draft a high schooler, especially when you draft a 17-year-old. Like, you are playing the lottery here. But this is someone who is going to be a plus runner, a plus defender, and has the chance. I mean, everyone keeps saying he's not going to have power. I think ultimately it's probably going to be like 17 to 20 home runs in the big leagues. But if he's hitting 280 and stealing 30 bags and playing good shortstop, that's a really, really valuable player. And the last thing I'll say really quickly is they were able to save some money on this pick that they use later. People act like that's cheap or the learner's like choosing not to spend at all. No, you just use the money on later picks, and they ended up having a banner third through fifth round.
Well, let me ask you a question then. And I think I know the answer because learners don't like to spend money. But C.J. Abrams is their shortstop. He's 24 years old. Okay, once his deal is up, let's just say he gets better and better and better, they want to keep C.J. Abrams. Well, in 3 or 4 years, Willits might be ready to come up. You can't play them both. What do they do?
Well, by then, you would move C.J. Abrams off shortstop. I mean, the sneaky...
Where are you going to put him?
You can play him at second. Depending on how he's moving or running at that point, you could play him at third. The center field. I mean, but first of all, I would tell you right now, he's a below average defensive shortstop as it is. Now,
yeah,
I'm not saying
they
should move C.J. Abrams, but like if they were like, let's say they were a real organization that spent money.
Yeah, exactly.
Then you could go get an actual defensive shortstop, and they're the worst defensive infield in baseball. One of the worst defensive teams in baseball and have been for years. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons for that is Abrams, who I would re-sign today because he's an offensive star and should be an all-star, is not a good defender. Now, it should be okay to have him at shortstop as an athlete, and then you're just better defensively than they've been at third, where Brady House has actually been a gigantic upgrade. The problem for them is they have four below-average defenders. Nathaniel Lowe, who's regressed substantially this year on defense at first, Garcia, who's a terrible defensive player at second.
Always
and
has been.
Third base position. You know, with Jose Tena and, you know, everyone other than Paul DeJong, they've played there this year, essentially, before Brady House. That position's been a disaster. So I mean, this is the worst infield defense in the sport. So I worry less about that because, I mean, we're talking about, like, 2028, 2029. And Abrams isn't even under contract at that point. I hope they re-sign him. He's not a Boris guy. But there's no guarantee they're going to do that.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. So they're probably just going to let him, you know, trade him, especially if Willits is ready to go. The team has been dreadful over the last month and a half. It's been an embarrassment is what it's been. And the lineup on Sunday, and I understand Abrams had the day off because he was a little bit banged up and they gave Wood the day off. So your two best players offensively were not in the lineup. But that lineup was embarrassing.
Brutal. Yep. First of all, I don't really know why James Wood had the day off before the All-Star break. I mean, it's not worth picking nits over, but he had played in every game. You guys realize this? Since he came up, he had played in 172 in a row. So he had a little Iron Man streak going. It was one of the longest streaks in baseball. So Davey, every single game that he managed with James Wood on the team, wrote his name in the lineup, and Cairo already here in the first week has given him a day off. So now I'm curious to see what that looks like on the other side of the break. But yeah, it's bad right now, and it's going to get worse. I mean, this is going to be an ugly finish because, let's face it, Jason, they're going to trade, very likely, Kyle Finnegan, who's had a great year. He blew a save at the end of the first half, but he's been their best reliever. I think they're going to trade Nathaniel Lowe, who's on pace for 25 homers and 100 RBI. He's got a year and a half of control. So because he's not a rental and the team actually has him next year, I think they might actually get a decent player for him. They may trade Michael Soroka from the starting rotation, who has underwhelmed statistically, but is the second best stuff in the rotation. So if they actually trade a few pieces like that,
yeah.
I mean, a bad team's about to get worse.
It's going
to
be a 60-win team.
I will say, though, as crazy as it sounds, they're probably not as far away as it feels because of the core that they do have. If they were to actually go out and try to upgrade this roster with some major league resources this offseason, you know, they're not that far away from being a 500 team.
What was last night like? I was listening to you, I don't know, maybe it was like 2, 3 o'clock with Jim Duquette. Were you guys doing the show from the stadium?
Yeah, we were at the ballpark, yep. Kind of at the, you know, we were in the same booth, actually, that ESPN uses to call their stuff, like right behind home plate, which was fun.
Yeah.
Have you been here, Jason?
I haven't. No, I have not.
It's awesome.
Is it?
I mean, everybody building the stadium, including the Commanders, when I talked to some of their people recently, is trying to reinvent the battery, they call it, which is this little like Navy Yard on steroids area with bars and restaurants right outside the ballpark. One of the reasons I think all the owners like it is the Braves own all of that and have their finger in all of the business and the money that comes in, which is nice. It's essentially a real estate deal. But for fans, it's an amazing place to hang out. But
oh, cool.
Vibes were good. I mean, everyone was going crazy for Matt Olson doing the tomahawk chop, which I always find to be very odd as someone who now watches a football team called the Commanders for some reason. it was, you know, it was a packed house, and I think by and large, Atlanta's been a really, really good host for this event. They, you know, didn't show up at all for the Futures game, which was disappointing on Saturday. But since then, they've really shown that this is a good baseball town. That the Braves are having a bad year, but they still love their baseball.
Hey, real quick, while we have you on, got to get your take. You mentioned the Commanders on the Terry deal. Does the Garrett Wilson deal help or hurt Terry? I think it kind of defines the market. I think it ultimately is going to help Terry, even though he's a lot younger.
I agree with you, Eric. I mean, first of all, it feels like this should be easy. That's what's strange to me about this.
It's getting drawn
out. With the DK Metcalf contract, it's basically a blueprint for the deal for McLaurin. Now you've got this deal. There's not a whole lot of wiggle room. I imagine the team's playing some hardball and maybe only wants to give him 3 years. It's going to take 4. I think that this is just inevitable for a lot of reasons, as we've talked about for months. But you just said it. Like we see what the market is. There have been multiple guys of the similar ilk that have gotten paid now. So it's not like the team in McLaurin should be off by $7, $8 million in AAV or even in guaranteed money. So I actually think that makes it more likely, because whether the team likes it or not, it just firms up what we already knew, which is how much it's going to cost.
Do you think it gets done before camp starts?
I have said all along that I thought it would get done before camp starts. Yeah. So, yes, I'll say it does. The caveat to that is, and that's where I'm putting my chips right now, look up the dates on when 49ers players got their deals when Adam Peters was there. And I'm not suggesting that Peters was the negotiator or the reason for this. But you come up in an organization and in a culture with a philosophy, and maybe it rubs off on you. I mean, all of those guys, like Nick Bosa, Trent Williams, Debo when he was there, Ayuk recently, they all got deals in late July after camp started in August. And in fact, one of them, I think it was Nick Bosa, got his deal in September.
Right.
So most of those guys were either holding out or holding in. And it actually was like a month from now or 5 weeks from now when they actually got paid. So that gives me a little bit of pause. There doesn't seem like any reason to not get this thing done before camp, avoid the only distraction you'd have, get McLaurin working out with his teammates, because we all know they're going to pay him. You're not letting this guy walk. So,
I can't.
I mean, let's just skip to the part where you guys are having the press conference.
Joined by Grant Paulson, our colleague. You can listen to him at 2 o'clock on the Grant and Danny Show. All right, we actually have a small pool picking the date as to when Terry would sign. I'm in on July 30th.
You got to nail it.
Cakes, what's your date?
I have August 2nd.
And Jason?
Hold on.
You already forgot?
You didn't write it down? Oh, August 8th. Did I say the 8th?
I think so.
I think I said August 8th.
Do you want in? It's $5.
Gotta you got to nail the date or no one gets
paid. Got to hit it exactly, Grant.
7:30, 8:30.
All right.
Let's go Thursday, July 24th. Is anyone on that date?
Nope.
No, they are not.
Wow, you're the most optimistic.
I like it.
So I'm going to go 9 days out against my better judgment, having just given you all those late 49ers days.
Okay. Yeah, you seem to go against what you were saying.
I'm going to say they get this thing done. It just, like, to me, is, you guys tell me what you think about this. They do this wacky where they draft some random dude out of UTEP, and they tell us, like, this is a true commander. He lives the commander life. If you cut him open, commanders fall out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, like, all they talk about is commanders. Commander. Well, what is a commander? And they give you all these traits. That's Terry McLaurin. Like, that is the guy. So you can't do this whole culture. We're all about finding true commanders. And then the guy who lives it, breathes it, and has been it the longest doesn't get paid.
Yeah.
Makes all the sense in the world. Doesn't mean it's going to happen. You've got July 24th. All right, you're in.
Drabby will get my Venmo. There $5 company.
Well, you don't have to send it yet.
You don't need to Venmo us now.
Good. Don't send it yet.
You might win. Why would you do that?
Don't send it yet.
Okay. Right. That's a good point.
Enjoy Atlanta tonight.
Yep. Have fun.
Hey,
man.
Real quick on the personal front. How tough is it when you have a fourth child who's a newborn to bail and go to Atlanta?
So it's a great question. What's funny is everyone's been asking me, they're like, you just had a baby, right? And I'm like, yeah. They're like, when did you have the baby? And I'm like, 3 days ago. And they're like, why are you here? Like, what is going on?
Good for you, bud.
I mean, my wife basically kicked me out. Like, I'm like, I don't think I should go. I don't know. And I don't know if it's because it's the fourth. Like, I don't know that I would have even allowed it or done it if it was the first. But it just, it feels to her, I guess, like it was the 50th. She's been very casual about this. But I was home with her for, like, the first day to help, in air quotes. And that just meant I got her water like 3 times, and I asked, like, do you need anything? And she told me, go away from me.
Wow.
So that's kind of the extent of my helping. So, yeah, she was like, hit the road, no problem. It feels awkward. Like, I FaceTime and see the baby. You know what I think about? This is like a weird deep cut here. But how do people, like, in the military or people that are, like, real grown-ups with big boy jobs, some of these people are away for months from babies. Like, I can't wait to get home. It's been 48 hours. I don't know how people do it.
Right. Yeah, no, it's nutty. They're better people.
But your wife's a damn good person.
Hell
wow.
Yeah. What's the age range? Is it, like, from 6 to newborn? How old's your oldest?
Yeah, so my daughter is 6, and then my boy is 4.
It's crazy.
And we've got a girl that turns 2 this month.
And you're very regular.
Yeah.
You
must have. Every 2 years. Do you have a minivan? Like, what's the car seat situation?
No, we have a SUV that probably needs to be bigger than it is.
He needs a church van at this point.
Yeah, you do.
You need a church van, Grant.
You need a metro bus.
You're having enough sex for everybody in town. Can you slow down a little bit?
Well, you don't have to have a lot of sex to have children. Yeah. Technically.
All right.
You're accurate. You're deadly accurate.
Yeah, man, you must be a deadly shooter.
I mean, Michael Phelps swimmers. Where does Michael Phelps reside? I can
Baltimore,
tell you, okay?
I guess. I don't know.
So are you gonna address that situation so that you don't make no more slip past the goalie?
Well, that's a negotiation that's ongoing right now.
Right.
One of us certainly wants that to happen as soon as possible.
Yeah.
You're talking to him right now.
Right.
But let's just say we could have a pool on that date, too.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that I would take July 24th on when I'll be at
Take the over.
Right. Right. It's just something that's exactly. A little daunting about it, right?
Well, 100%. Not only that, but, like, I've always said, so we're both 1 of 4.
Yeah.
So for me, 4 has always been, like, the maximum, but also a reasonable enough number. I would have been good with 2 or 3. My wife, right. when first ever talked about it, was like, she wants 6 kids, right? I'm like, that's not it.
Oh, she wants more.
Well, at this point, though, that was before we ever had a kid. So 4 is also a good number for her that we've kind of settled on and what's reasonable. But I view 4 as like, oh, that's like a complete great family. It's big. It's a lot. It's I don't know how we're going to afford it, and it's a disaster. But it's also wonderful, and this is great.
Right.
To me, 5 is where you cross over the threshold of, like, now you're the family with kids just, like, falling out of a van.
You're the Duggars.
Up,
you become the Duggars if you have 5 or more.
You're going to get your own reality show.
A family in my neighborhood, the Grays, who had 9 kids, and it was just like, oh, there's the Grays, you know? Like, the Paulsons don't need to be that.
Right. Understood. Yeah. Well, Grant, get
congrats,
some rest. Enjoy
buddy.
The All-Star game, and
all right, GP.
We'll see you again soon when you get back to DC.
Fellas, thank you. Be good.
Yep.
All right, buddy.
That's Grant Paulson checking in live from Atlanta, site of the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. We'll be right back.